Hey, True Crime Mamas and friends. This is your co-host, Christina. And today I am here with our mascot, Murphy, who is the resident poodle. And I'm also here with Amber and Jenny.
Hi.
Hey.
How are y'all doing?
We're good.
Fantastic.
Well, we're actually better than good because every time we come to Heidi's house, we raid her liquor cabinet that we've helped stock. We're very diverse people. Murphy is actually barking because he wants to come in. So we'll post a picture of Murphy up on the website so you can see how adorable he is. He is Heidi's new rescue poodle, and he just really likes to hang out with all of us. So when we're recording, if you hear any type of dog noises, it's because of our friend Murphy. He's just supporting us.
And we support animal rescue.
Yes, big
absolutely
time.
Do.
Yes.
So back to the liquor cabinet, we're very diverse, just like we're diverse in everything else. So Amber, what's your poison?
I like a good muscadine wine or a Moscato. That's something sweet. I got a sweet tooth.
So, awesome.
Yeah. Now, same with me. I mean, I like the Moscato. I like the sweet reds.
So I happen to be the exact opposite. I love just a basic red dry wine. Favorite kind in the world. But then also, I'm a really big fan of vodka. And I mean, I will drink a vodka soda straight up, which I know some people think is disgusting, like Lindsay does. But
no, I'm not a fan of that either.
Love it.
Mm-mm. No, so, I can't do liquor anymore.
Oh.
No, I'm too old for that.
Oh, come on.
I hope I'm never too old for that.
I know, right? That would make me very sad.
I know. So what's your piece about today, ladies?
All right, so today we're talking about a murder in Mayberry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow, Mayberry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So for those of you who don't know, Mayberry is actually a fictional town, but Mount Airy, which is up in the northern part of the middle part of North Carolina, is actually what Andy Griffith based Mayberry on. So they're going to talk about a situation that happened here. We can't wait to dig in, so let's go ahead and hear about it.
All right.
Yeah, thanks, everyone.
Okay, so we're going to tell you about a case that went cold for over 40 years. So it all started in this picturesque town called Pilot Mountain, which is located close to the fictional Mayberry in the Andy Griffith Show. This is the case of Rhonda Michelle Blaylock. Okay, Amber, so I love a solved case,
yes,
especially after it's gone cold for so long.
Yes.
Totally gives me hope that all of these horrible cold cases will one day bring closure to the family and friends of the victim.
Absolutely.
And to the rest of us who have followed the cases or become interested in them over the years.
Yes.
So, if you could pick any cold case or two that you would like to see solved, who would it be?
Ooh, that's a good one. It's not necessarily a cold case, but to me it's still unsolved. Like, I would love to know if Scott Peterson actually killed Lacey. Because there's a there's doubt now being brought about it. So that's one thing I would love to know.
Yeah, me too. So for me, I want to see JonBenet Ramsey's case.
You and the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Yes.
I would say she's number one for me. And then the next one for me would be the Delphi murders.
Yes. I forgot about those. Yes.
Yeah.
Those need to get solved.
Oh, and then one more would be Maura Murray.
Yes.
I want to know what happened to
her. Where'd she go? Where did she go?
Right.
Where?
Yeah. So many cases.
Yes.
But, yeah, those are the ones that I would pick.
Yeah.
All right, so let's drop into this one. So I first heard about this case just a couple months ago when her killer was arrested and convicted. So it always fascinates me when a case goes cold for so long. And in this case, it was cold for 40 years. Then new information gets discovered and the case gets solved. It makes my heart happy for the victim and the family.
Yes.
So, Rhonda Michelle Blaylock was born on November 9th, 1965, in Rural Hall, North Carolina. Rural Hall is just north of Winston-Salem. To this day, it's still a small town, just like the name says. But back in the 60s and 70s, when Rhonda and her family lived there, it was really small. Like the kind of place where everybody knows everyone. It's presumably safe. Not much in the way of crime happens there. Kids walk home from school, from the bus stop to an unlocked empty house until the parents get home from work. So as an 80s kid, I remember those days very well. I'd walk home from school with my friends about a mile or so. We did lock our doors, you know, because I grew up in Southern California. Densely populated area, you know, more people equals more crimes. But it's still considered generally safe.
Right.
So Rhonda's parents were Rebecca Lynn and Freddie Blaylock. Rhonda was an only child, but she was surrounded by cousins and aunts and uncles and grandparents. She was really close with her younger cousin, Sherry Thigpen. Her parents were loving, giving, and protective of their only child. Rhonda was described by family as a shy girl and really sweet. She volunteered with the Red Cross, she was active in her church, and she was just overall a good kid. She had just started public school, and she went to Atkins High School. She was in the 9th grade. She had made new friends and was doing the typical kid things, like listening to music, hanging out, going to the bowling alley. So she was just 14 years old when she was brutally murdered on Tuesday, August 26, 1980. Rhonda left school that day with a friend. The two girls were strolling down the street near a bowling alley in Rural Hall when they were approached by a blue Chevy truck with a male driver. He was described as being in his early to mid-20s, wearing faded jeans, black t-shirt, with white tennis shoes, aviator sunglasses, and a baseball cap. Feathered light brown hair, stubble on his face. He introduced himself to Rhonda and her friend as Jimmy, or as his friends called him, Butch. So from all reports, it was stated that numerous eyewitnesses spotted Rhonda and her friend, who still has not released her name, getting into the truck. They were picked up near the bowling alley. And from what I understand, picking up people on the side of the road was kind of a common thing back then.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, small town, everybody kind of knows everybody, and Right. Everybody thinks it's
and that, and most people walked everywhere,
yeah.
Too, so.
And it was just no big deal.
Yeah.
So, but the friend was dropped off at the railroad tracks near the intersection of Tuttle Road and Pretty Road in Rural Hall. Sources report this was near her house. She was unharmed and gave no indication that Rhonda was in any danger. I guess he just wasn't giving off any type of killer vibes.
Yeah, I wonder if he could, like, shut his vibes on and off. Like, yeah.
Right.
I'm a good guy vibe, and then just flip that switch and go to bad guy vibe.
Right. But when Rhonda didn't return home that day, her parents immediately went out looking for her. That evening, they contacted local authorities to report their only child missing.
Ooh.
I cannot imagine.
No.
And sadly, Rhonda's body was discovered at 4:10 p.m. on Friday, August 29th, just 3 days after she went missing. A man who was going by the area spotted her in the woods about 50 feet from the road, in plain view of the road. She was found 18 miles away from where she was last seen, voluntarily getting into that blue Chevy truck with her friend. Her partially clothed body was found in a wooded area off a gravel road in Pilot Mountain, which is in Surrey County. She had to be identified for dental records. She had been raped and stabbed to death. Her autopsy listed her cause of death as cardiac lacerations due to knife wounds. She was stabbed between 5 and 8 times. Now, we weren't able to get a hold of the autopsy report, so we're just going off of what has been reported in our sources.
Right.
And this poor baby lived for about 3 to 5 minutes after the stabbing started, according to a Fox 8 report that I read. Rhonda was laid to rest on September 2nd, 1980, at her church, the Poplar Springs Church of Christ Cemetery. Today, she rests in the same plot with her parents. The small rural town was shocked. So let's talk about who killed Rhonda. Like I said, this case has now been solved as of just a few months ago. So leads were pouring in over the days and weeks and even months after Rhonda was murdered. police conducted hundreds of interviews. They went as far as Ohio and South Carolina, following up on leads and tips. Now, here's what gets me. Why did this guy decide right then and there to harm her? Why did he pick Rhonda and not her friend? Not to say that we wanted anything bad to happen to her friend, but just as curious as to why Rhonda in particular. Why did he let the friend go? I mean, he left a witness.
Yeah, she was a witness, and he just let her get right out of the truck. And she didn't feel anything bad coming from that situation.
No.
So, I don't, I'm not exactly sure that he had knew what he was going to do at that point in time.
Right.
Maybe he was going about his day, and then that girl got out of the truck, and he was like,
hey. Yeah, could be. So, I mean, the friend saw him. She rode in the truck. She knew what, I mean, this girl even could describe what brand of cigarettes he smoked. She was able to give a detailed description of him, from his light stubbly beard to his feathered hair and exactly what he was wearing. How in the hell did he come to the decision to do what he did to Rhonda? And the million-dollar question is, how did he get away with it for 40 years? We have all the questions.
We have all the questions.
All the questions. So I'm going to tell you about this guy.
Please do. I am very curious to see who's smart enough to get away with murder for 40 years.
Right. So his name is Robert James Atkins, and he was arrested on August, in August of 2019 at the age of 62.
Woo.
He goes by the name James. So the use of DNA and other newer technologies coupled with the well-preserved old evidence brought Rhonda's killer to justice. Now, I didn't find anything in my research about how they obtained the DNA, but my guess is they got it from maybe her rape kit or off her body, clothing, under her nails, something
right,
like that.
Right.
And he was interviewed multiple times over the years in relation to Rhonda's death. He was interviewed in January 2017 for 7 hours, and then again several months later. So it seems like he was always on the radar.
Yeah, but never in the bullseye zone.
Right.
So, yeah. I love that DNA has taken a part in this case and helped bring her killer to justice. And I was thinking, too, about, well, why did it take so long? Because we've had DNA since at least the early 90s.
Right.
That it has been into criminal justice stuff. And I was thinking about, why did they not start that back then with the DNA? But DNA takes so long to get processed and get back, so they may have started it a lot earlier and just now got the results back. I mean, it can take 6 months to a year to get some stuff back, maybe even longer.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like those criminal shows that we watch on TV where within an hour the crime is committed and
right.
then the guy is, you know, the DNA comes out and then it's all said and done and the guy is convicted. But
yeah, it makes it look like that's days, not months. Yeah,
but from what you're saying, it could take years.
It could take years,
yeah.
Especially with if they got it from something like a rape kit, because those aren't processed immediately, unless the police department has a suspect in mind and they need to know. So
yeah,
it could. Who knows how long? It probably did take 40 years to do that.
Probably. I mean, it's so backlogged. There's so many cases out there that are unsolved.
And just sitting there,
right. Mm. So, let's talk about this guy, James Atkins, who killed Rhonda. So, he was 23 years old when he raped and viciously killed Rhonda. This podcast that we listened to about the case, called Murder in Pilot Mountain, a 40-Year Mystery by Fox 8, interviewed people who knew him, and they said he really had kind of a crappy childhood.
Mm.
His dad was apparently a raging alcoholic who regularly beat him and his siblings. Okay, so shitty parents, in my opinion, don't really give you the right to kill people. No.
Not a pass.
Right. Oh. And so James's cousins were interviewed, and both said that he was a nice person, but he was really shy. He kept to himself. He was the loner type. And then as he grew older, he started to abuse alcohol, drinking excessively and frequently. And his cousin said that he was even, like, falling down drunk, like, a lot. He went from job to job working construction or at the water department in Thomasville, couldn't really, like, keep a steady job.
I suppose the drinking got in the way with that.
I would say.
That would hinder just a little bit with your job security, I would think.
Yeah. In 1983, James was arrested for DUI. And in 1988, he was arrested again for DWI. And he got probation for both.
Of course he did.
So it seems like the drinking was really in excess.
Yeah.
Other than that, he was never in trouble with the law. I suppose maybe he drank to forget what he did to Rhonda. I don't know. But he did. He grew up. He got married. He had a son of his own. He got divorced. He moved to Dobson, which isn't that far from Rural Hall. And he kind of stayed in this area his entire life. And Rhonda's mom, Lynn, was truly an advocate for her.
She was. She was pushing so hard for her daughter.
And she continually brought her daughter's case into the light by contacting law enforcement for status updates, you know, taking interviews with the news, doing podcasts.
Everything she could to get her daughter's name out there.
Right. Just to make sure that nobody forgot about Rhonda.
Absolutely.
And a group of law enforcement officers took this case on in an effort to solve it, bringing relief to her grieving family. They even created a task force in 2015 to get this case solved. So we can assume that law enforcement had an idea from around the beginning of who killed her. But due to a lack of hard evidence, again, DNA technology wasn't around in the 80s. They were looking to find, I guess, something more concrete, more evidence to bring him up on charges. And they never gave up. They kept him on the radar and pushed forensic evidence until they had enough to arrest and convict him. It took 40 years, but they finally got justice. Sadly, Rhonda's father passed away in 2012, and her mother passed a year before the arrest of James Atkins. They never got to see their daughter's killer arrested and brought to justice. Her mom said something in an interview that really broke my heart. She said in an interview, quote, "I was never able to see her graduate from high school, possibly college, getting married, having children. People ask me how many grandchildren do you have, and I say I don't have any grandchildren because I don't have any children."
That is the most heart-wrenching quote.
I know.
Ugh.
But we were able to obtain the toxicology report for Rhonda. And her toxicology report showed that she had an ethanol level at 30 milligrams. So we were really curious about this, and we kind of took a deep dive into Dr. Google.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems that in order for the body to read a level of 30 milligrams, the person must have ingested alcohol before death. So, we are not doctors.
No, we're not.
We are not medical examiners.
Nope.
Again, this all comes from Dr. Google. And we Googled how to read toxicology reports on ethanol levels. We just found this information really interesting in linking all of these pieces of the puzzle together as to what really happened to this beautiful child, what happened to Rhonda.
Yes.
So in the research that I did on James, I didn't find anything that indicated he had a violent past, no arrest records, just the DUI, DWI stuff. No reports of the three predictors of antisocial behaviors, such as cruelty to animals or bedwetting or fire starting. All I saw was the interview that said that he was kind of a loner. But I just cannot see how a person goes from no criminal behaviors to rape and murder.
That is quite an escalation.
It's,
you know?
Exactly, yeah. And so interestingly, we decided when we were doing our research for this that we were going to reach out to James. We were going to try to ask him some questions. But as of this recording, we have not had a response from James. So here's the theory.
We got a theory.
We have theories. So you want to talk about the theory, Amber?
Sure. I will love to talk about this theory we came up with. Okay, so James had a shitty, abusive childhood. His father was an alcoholic asshole. And we predict that he may have had some PTSD from years of this abuse that he suffered at the hands of his father. He was described as a shy guy and a loner, so I would think that years of abuse may have stunted his emotional growth.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and perhaps he was out driving one day, saw the girls walking, decided to be a nice guy and give them a ride wherever they were going. Maybe he felt an attraction to Rhonda when she got in the truck. She was a cute girl, but she was a child.
She was.
A child.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she was 14, but in the picture, she looks, to me, she looks younger than 14.
She does. Her picture, she is absolutely adorable, but she does not look like she's 14.
No, you know? To me, so she looks like she's 12.
12, that's what I was going for.
Yeah.
Maybe after they dropped off the friend, he offered to hang out with her, maybe give her a beer, some type of alcohol.
Maybe.
She was getting into those teen years.
Wanted to be cool.
Absolutely. It happens. We all did it. We did dumb stuff when we were her age. Let's just be honest here. But thank God we both survived it. And, I can see the allure of hanging out with this, attractive older guy with a nice truck.
Yeah.
Totally can see that.
I mean, in the pictures of him as a younger person, he was attractive.
Yeah, he was a good looking guy. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, probably would have gotten attracted. But maybe he put the moves on her and she rejected him, over and over again, kept told him no.
Mm-hmm.
And
she was a child.
She was a child. I'm sure she did not know exactly everything that was going on. And maybe he flew into a rage and just snapped, fueled by, alcohol and PTSD from his horrible father, and raped and snapped her.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, that's
a good theory. I mean, we're definitely 100% not trying to say that, we're not trying to paint Rhonda in a negative light.
No.
This was totally not her fault. Again, she was a good girl. She was never in any trouble. None of this was her fault. She was an innocent child. So even if she did perhaps take a drink from him, she was underage and not responsible for this at all. Not even a little bit.
No.
Mm-mm. He was the one that made the decision to rape and kill her. Shitty childhood, PTSD, alcohol do not mean he is any less responsible for what he did to her and what he took from her family.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is just kind of a theory that we put together. Just from the information that was presented in the media and what we got from the talks report.
Right.
So like we said, we reached out to James to see if he wanted to tell his side of the story. I mean, at this point, he's got nothing to lose. He's been convicted and he will spend the rest of his life behind bars.
He will, yes.
I guess we just wanted to know why he did this to her or what was going on in his head at the time. Maybe going forward, he'll give us a response and an interview. And if he does, then we can always do an update.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But that is what we have for Miss Rhonda Michelle Blaylock. And thank you all for listening.
Hey, y'all. If you're looking to do some renovation and want to support a local small business, check out Sensible Spaces. They're owned and operated by one of our own True Crime Mamas, Heidi, and her husband, Kyle. They recently remodeled my master bathroom. It was a 1990s bathroom that needed a serious facelift. They transformed it into a classic, timeless look that you can check out on their Instagram, at Sensible Spaces. Sensible Spaces is local and services the Triad. If you need any renovation work done in your home, check them out on Instagram or on their website, sensible-spaces.com. I know you will love their work. I sure did.
True Crime Mama Podcast is a production of Coastal Mama Productions. Theme music created by the talented Sam Morrison with Arkham Files Podcast. TCM Podcast is property of the True Crime Mamas, LLC. Support your True Crime Mamas by following us on Instagram and Facebook. Check out our website, truecrimemamaspodcast.com, for some killer merch.